yesterday first. Something from yesterday first, which is that I did take a look at the Rosh Shlomo. I don't think the Rosh assumes such a thing or says any such thing. However, if you look in the Madani Yom Tov, you will see he suggests such a view. But that is neither what the Rosh says nor, I think, what he claims the Gaonim say or anything like that. So I'd be happy to read another occasion, but the only one I've seen who suggests that approach actually is the Madani Yom Tov, which was written by Rav Yom Tov Lipman Heller, the author of the Tosfos Yontif on the Mishnah. So he has a series of commentaries on the Rosh as well, and so he suggests that. There is one point that's worthy of exploring, sort of called one hakira that's worth making. Is what exactly, if you say like the Rambam and the Rif, there's nothing to talk about. According to the Rambam and the Rif, the reason why you make a borei pri ha'adama on Kafrisin is because it's not a pri. Period. Bein be'aretz, bein mechutz la'aretz. However, if you assume not like the Rambam and not like the Rif, but I assume to be the Rif, and you assume that Kafrisin one is not allowed to partake in Eretz Yisrael, but you are in chutz la'aretz, so then the question becomes, what bracha do you make? So one position, and this is what Rabbeinu Yonah articulates, he wants it to be the Rif, and it certainly could be the Gonim, I don't think it's the Rif, is that what does the Gemara say? The Gemara, look at the Gemara Lamed Vav Amud Beis and the Behilchasa, the part that's not actually the Gemara, the part that is actually the Halachos Gedolos. At the end of the Sogya, yes. Behilchasa, in parentheses, Kemar Baravashi, the Zarikas Havionus Ve'ochlas Akafrisen. So the halacha is like Mar Baravashi. Umed Lagabe Orla Allah Peraninhu, Lagabe Brachos Nami La Peraninhu, Vallama Marchina Labari Priets, Labari Prihadama. Now, of course, the problem is in Eretz Yisrael, it is Priets because you don't eat it as Orla. So Rabbeinu Yonah introduced, and we read it quickly yesterday, Lagabe Orla Lav Vadai Perahu. So to Lagabe Bracha, it's Lav Vadai Perahu, and therefore when it comes to Orla, we have a rule that Kalameka Ba'aretz Halacha Kamosu B'chutz La'aretz. So on the Orla, you makbid on the Kafrisin in Eretz Yisrael, but you're not makbid in Chutz La'aretz. But when it comes to Bracha, if it's not Vadai Pri, what do you do? You make a Bari Pri Adama. Why? Because you Yotze Miman of Shach. Right? Bari Pri Adama is the most specialized Bracha, which is sufficiently encompassing to make sure that you Yotze on the Kafrisin. Correct. Yes. Anywhere. All right, Chaim.
Can you capitalize off the fact that the original Nimrod that this is only talking about Chutz La'aretz was said in the name of Rav, whereas here it's quoted in the name of Mar Baravashi, at least in the Bahag?
Well, no, because there are two statements. It's the story. The story is told later on in the Gemara that Mar Baravashi and Amimar, or Mar Baravashi and somebody, Ravina, were Ravina found Mar Baravashi, who was doing a Rav, who was Ochalas Kafrisin, Zarkas Avionos Vahochalas Kafrisin, and that's simply why they say Vahochasa. Some have suggested that that's, you know, that they viewed
it. Could it be that that was in
the, that that was everywhere? That wasn't limited. Some have suggested that for the position of the Rif and the Rambam.
Mar Baravashi lived in Babel, so.
So did Rav.
Right, so I'm saying the point is that there's no reason why to say that this would have happened there as Israel, or you can't learn anything from the story.
Correct. So that's why I don't think it really serves as a firm basis. So one position says it's a suffik, and therefore you make Barat Pri Adama. What is the position of the Ravid and the Rosh? Their position is... Well, because we've rejected... that position, certainly in Chutz La'aretz. And it's the assumption that when the Gemara introduced Mina Nitzba, the assumption was that if you accepted that Braisa, you would have been Zorik as a Kafrisin as well. That's why it was a Kasha against Rav. And our answer was that Rav holds like Rabbi Akiva, at least in Chutz La'aretz, so at least in Chutz La'aretz, we don't follow that Braisa. Now, once you're saying that we don't follow, you know, once we say in Chutz La'aretz, you're being Machpid because you're Matir the Kafrisin because it's a Suffolk Orla, so therefore, if it's a Suffolk Bracha, you make a Bari Pri Adama. Now, the position, however, of the Rosh, we can actually look at the Rosh for just one brief moment, and you'll tell me what you think, yeah?
It creates a lot of problems for Tamir Rabbein Yonah, the way they want to read the Rif. Because then the Rif said, Midil Gabe Orla, Lav Perihu, Gabe Bracha, Nami Lav Perihu. They have to read Midil Gabe Orla.
Lav Vadai Perihu.
Means the Chutz La'aretz. What?
Yeah. Okay. Well, legabe no, legabe or la lav vaday peirahu, because in Eretz Yisrael
no,
we're machmir.
No, in the language of the Rif. He says we do legabe or la lav peirahu.
Yeah.
So you have to say that that's talking about chutz la'aretz.
No. He says in the language of Rabbeinu Yonah, he says in the or la lav vaday peirahu. He modifies the language of the Rif. Hold on.
I know. I'm saying the way.
So it's la davka. It's not vaday in Eretz Yisrael either. It's just in Eretz Yisrael machmir and chutz la'aretz mekel. Right, and Melagabe Orla Lavadai Peirahu Sheb Baaretz Belvad No Hegben Asafek Mchutz Lachainu Noe. It's Lavdav. In other words, agreed. I don't think that's what the Rif holds. The question is, what is as a logical position of Pesach, what Rabbeinu Yonah says is extremely logical, but I just don't think it's what the Rif holds. But if you turn your attention to the Rush for a moment, the Rush in Perek Shishi, it's a very long piece in the Rush. It's in Siman Gimel. If you're in the newest Oz V'Hadar, it's page Tzadi. It's the left column, but it's no matter what you're in, it's in the middle of Siman Gimel on the Rush. it's a little bit after that. Yes. One second. Let me just find the specific line. The Rush where I have an Oz Zion in the Madani Yom Tov. V'chevan de be'eretz Yisrael. I'm sorry, let's go back a previous line. Let's go back, I'm sorry. Let's go to the Chosav Rav Alfazal. That's easy. It should be easy to find, too. The Chosav Rav Alfazal, V'chein Chosav B'mikzva Svarim, Nuscha Mibal Halachos Gedolos.
5 lines from the bottom, and then you'll do this.
Right.
So it's found in the Rif and some of the Svarim. It's a Nuscha from the Baal Halachos. It does not appear to be correct. Again, the position that you make a bari pri adama across the board, since it's not a pri. The hod the ochel mar baravashi kafrisin, lav mishum da alacha garabi akiva. Namely, that the kafrisim are not a pri. Ela mishum dehamekel ba'aretz halacha kamosa b'chutz la'aretz. But because of the principle that any time there's a machlokas in Eretz Yisrael, one of the shittas is mekel, you follow him in chutz la'aretz. So therefore, v'chevan de'eretz Yisrael peirahu, not because he holds like Rabbi Akiva. V'chevan de'eretz Yisrael peirahu le'in bracha nami peirahu v'ein chilek bebracha ben chutz la'aretz la'aretz Yisrael. We really hold that way. Can someone explain the Rush to me? I know you do. I know you would. Why do you like that, Shita Yael?
Because he's saying that the issue of Paul make a large that's the specific issue for Orla. So when
he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. It's specific for Orla. No, you're missing something. That's not correct. He doesn't say it's limited to Orla. I don't see those words
why,
there.
The idea of Paul, when he says that it's the only reason it's Usher is because of Paul Amika.
The reason why it's Mutter.
Why it's Mutter is because of Paul Amika.
What does that mean?
Because we think it's a pre.
Because it's not a pre.
According to Allah, we will say that it's
how could this be a din in Orla? On what basis? What's this principle? Where does it come from? Where does it? What does it mean? We have the words kolam. Why? Why? Ezra, were you going to say something?
It's a fruit in Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't mean a fruit in terms of its biology. So it's strengthening that connection between all those three ideas. That it doesn't mean it's a. When he says Eretz Yisrael Piro, he doesn't mean biologically. That he means has the halachos of pri, and that's gonna in turn right affecting its bracha, which is.
And therefore, you make a bracha of bari pri. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
So it means it is a pri. It means it is a pri.
But when he says Eretz Yisrael, isn't that based on Kol Hamikvah Ba'aretz? Isn't that based on that Shita, not on not on.
No, no. The unusual thing is that you're making chutz laretz, not to treat it as orla. But on what basis do we do that? I can repeat the klal kol amekel chayim.
It's just the opposite of what he said. In other words, they know that it's a fruit, right? And the only thing is that because there happens to be one opinion in regards to orla, because there happens to be one opinion that it would not be. So therefore, they say that in chutz laretz, so we're not going to hold by orla, even though we know that it's a fruit, and therefore when we make the bracha, we'll always consider it a fruit.
Fine, but let me ask you a question: why are we making that in chutz laretz?
Because there's no chiyuv.
Orla, there is chiyuv orla in chutz laretz. Orla in chutz laretz is halacha. Halacha Moshe Mi Sinai. That what? What is that? What I understand that. I'm going in a circle here, but what does it mean? And I don't mean what does it mean literally. What is the basis of such a principle? If it were a unique din in Orla, what would you have thought the basis of the din was? That's what I would have said. And you and Shalom, you pointed out that the continuation of the Gemara, that Kala Mekel Baretz Halacha Kamas Kutzlars, doesn't mean what you're saying it means now. You pointed out that doesn't mean if a one sheet is lenient in Eretz Yisrael, so we don't follow Eretz Yisrael, but as the consolation prize, we follow them Chutz Laretz. No! It means at any time there's a Tzad Safek within Eretz Yisrael, we're making on that in Chutz Laretz. Even let it be limited to Orla, not, or expanded beyond Orla. The Gemara has another, someone pointed out to me, I think Marlon and Aaron pointed out, it has to be Kalayim as well, which granted is the Rambanan, But you see that even though Beishami was not a Mekel in Eretz Yisrael, Beishami just held there was a suffix that maybe it's a Yerek.
Right.
Therefore, in Chutz Laretz, we reject, ultimately, Beishami is not even a suffix. They're not Baba Cheshbon. But if they were Baba Cheshbon, then you see there's a suffix, and in Eretz Yisrael, we rely upon the suffix. It really sounds like it's a din in suffix in Chutz Laretz is Mutar, and if you want to say it's limited to Orla, or as a special din in Orla, that's because suffix Orla is Mutar.
Right,
that's where Rabbeinu Yonah is coming from.
Yeah.
The whole reason why we're Mekel in Chutz Laretz is because there's an element of suffix. So in Eretz Yisrael, we're Mach, in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Laretz, we're Mekel. But at the end of the day, that's not a vadai pri that we just. That it's like this magical wand you wave around. What does that mean?
Then what about
bracha? What?
Then what about bracha?
You make a bar pri adam according to Rabbeinu Yonah. I don't understand the rush is very, very hard to understand this shita. It's Shlomo.
But then how do you meaning? I understand how you understand kamekel baratz alachimoskotzlaretz. Then why would the Gemara use that term? It's a very weird.
It is, and if I didn't have the continuation of the... But no, even if that were true, Shlomo, even if that were true, still you have to explain the principle.
I understand you have to explain the principle, but it just seems very odd that they would use a phrase that really has no relationship to what it actually means.
No, because often it does mean that. Often it means, because one of the times you have a suffix is when you have multiple shitas.
So why not just say suffix?
I mean, if I wanted to say al derech hadrush, you know... I mean, and it sounds like the Rush is saying this. It sounds like something completely... And you have to understand what the Rush is saying. Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, is intuitive. Especially the continuation of the Gemara. And the truth is, the continuation of the Gemara, if it's taken seriously, makes what the Rush says makes this whole sheet impossible. Means Rabbeinu Yonah is right. Because if the Gemara could think that you could follow Beis Shammai in Chutz La'aretz, and Beis Shammai is not Mekel in Eretz Yisrael, Beis Hillel is Machmir, and Beis Shammai is more Machmir. So to say that you're going to turn around and follow Beis Shammai, even follow Beis Shammai in Chutz Laretz, who are you following in Chutz Laretz? If you know what Kol HaMekel Baretz Halacha Mosom Chutz Laretz would mean in the Machlokas Beis Shammai. First, what was the Machlokas Beis Shammai's Hill? Let's review. Beis Shammai said that Itzlaf is a suffix of Kilayim B'Kerem. Beis Hillel says no suffix. There's no Kilayim with trees in a Kerem. There's only Kilayim with Yerek and Tfuah in a Kerem. So Beis Hillel says there's no problem with Tzlaf in a Kerem. It's a tree. You can plant trees in a Kerem. Beis Shammai says it's a suffix whether or not a tzlaf is a yerek, and therefore you're not allowed to plant it in a kerem. So if you want to say halacha kamekel b'chutz laretz, who's that going to be? Beis Hillel.
Okay, because that's a formulation. It doesn't work with the formulation. But what it really means is that we're going to take the most makel position we have and apply it to chutz laretz.
But it's not a most makel position. It's not, I disagree with you, that's not a makel position. It's a suffix position.
But when you apply it to chutz laretz, it's the most makel position.
Okay, so fine if you think that you can work it in the Gemara. Fine. But still, what does it mean? See, the Rabbeinu Yonah understood, at the end of the day, when you cut it up into as many pieces as you want and you put it back together, Rabbeinu Yonah understood it means it's a suffix. And in Eretz Yisrael, we're hamachmer. In Chutz Laretz, the rules were makil. Whether it's a shita, whether it's a tzad suffix, whatever it is. How do you explain the Rush's position? Because clearly it's not a suffix. If it were a suffix, he'd be making a bari bread down in both places. David?
Well, maybe he takes his cues on brachot from Arla and Eretz Yisrael. And then this dinam of Arla and Chutz Laretz don't really matter. He just looks at...
Yeah, but why? Why? All right, so I can see someone, if you want to really say a minimal drush, you'll say because it's uvirata es Hashem elkach al aretz hatova Hashem salach. I'll tell you what the problem with that is. The problem is that the Rush and the Baal HaTosos say that there's no chiluk in brachas between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz.
Right, but he could still be learning brachot from Arla.
Okay. So let me just suggest the following. You know, it's a little alderach hadrush, but it seems to be the concept that's embodied here, that we're not dealing with the suffix. We're treating it as Vaday Pri in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, we treat it as Vaday Pri. Because there is a Shita that doesn't treat it as Pri, we follow that Shita in Chutz Laretz. Why? So there's a very famous Ramban. And even if I'm completely wrong in what I'm saying now, you need to know this Ramban. And even if you don't think the Ramban is correct, you still need to know this Ramban. It's a famous Ramban. Very, very famous. One of the most famous Rambans. Everybody knows what I'm talking about? Oh, good. Okay, so... Hatzivi lach tzionim. So the Ramban in Parshas Vayam Shamoa, Rashi writes there that after Vavatem Eiram Eyal Artzatavar Asher Hashem Nasei Nachem Isam Temes Tivrei Eile Al Lavchem Yal Nafshechem. So Rashi says that even when you go in the Godol, you should be mitzuyonim and mitzvos. I believe it's a passage from the Sifrei, the Medrash Halach and Dvarim. So the Ramban says, I would have thought that I go into Chutz Laretz and therefore I don't put on tefillin anymore and I don't put on mezuzah. That's what I would have thought. So the Ramban says that yes, I really would have thought that, because one would have worked based upon the following analogy. I know that the Zionists love this Ramban, but theologically speaking, it's offensive. Okay, it's theologically offensive because the notion that God is somehow limited to Eretz Yisrael in any capacity is problematic. Because the Ramban says that every land has what you must follow, known as Mishpat Elohei Haaretz. Okay, that's the term is taken from the Kutim who came, who were brought in, and they were being eaten by the lions, so they needed to bring priests to teach them Mishpat Elohei Haaretz. Okay, I find this very limiting of God. Okay, so I'm sorry, David, I know this doesn't make you happy, but anyway, so the Ramban says that in principle, all mitzvahs would have been mitzvahs of Tlius Ba'aretz, because all mitzvahs are mitzvahs of the Ribono Shalom, and the Ribono Shalom's land is Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, as a matter of principle, one would not have been obligated. You know, I spoke yesterday. What is the mitzvah? The Mishnah says it's one of the funny tautologies until you understand that sometimes expressions mean different things. Remember how you pointed out the pri ha'etz and pri ha'adama. Pri means two different things. So the Mishnah says that kol mitzvah atlius ba'aretz ena nogos ela ba'aretz. Right? That's something of a tautology, right? All mitzvahs which are dependent upon, which are applicable to Eretz Yisrael, only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I realized in the middle of saying it, I hadn't thought about it before, but I realized in saying it that Haaretz, kol mitzvah satlius ba'aretz means karka, means ground. Means I knew it meant agricultural mitzvahs. I hadn't thought about what the term aretz means. Correct. In other words, I knew that mitzvahs meant agricultural mitzvahs, but I realized when saying it that ba'aretz means karka. You know, that's adam ta, okay, versus ara. It's not a true distinction, Uncleus, but I'm just using it by way of analogy. So the point is, called a mitzvah satlius, it almost should be mitzvah satlius be'eretz, in the earth, in karka, agricultural mitzvahs, ein enogos ela ba'aretz. So the Ramban says, really, all mitzvahs are Torah, mitzvahs satlius ba'aretz. So here the Torah says that when we keep mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz, this is a Zion's piece, we're really only doing it al derech zikaron for when we would live in Eretz Yisrael and really fulfill the mitzvahs. Okay. It's a night. What? No, okay. So the point is that the only thing we do in Chutz Laretz are those things that are not agricultural. Okay? But the things that we do that are not agricultural are almost like zecher to the mitzvahs we do in Eretz Yisrael. It's a lovely hashkafic concept. I don't think it's normative in any sense of the word, but maybe it is. Because the Rush here, now bring it back, after we've had that nice excursus to this wonderful Ramban. So everybody should go in Bizban Shulo Yom Valalayla and you should read this Ramban. However,
it's in
what's that?
You'd be learning it in Chutz Laretz anyway, so it's not really.
He wrote it. Well, when did he write it? He probably wrote in Chutzlars. Most of the parish, I think, he wrote before, because we know the passage in Vayishlach. He says when he came to Eretz Yisrael. So anyway, that seems to me, philosophically speaking, to be the concept underlying the rush. Is that you determine? In other words, it's not that it's a suffix, and therefore in Eretz Yisrael, where it's a more chamer iser u'machmer in Chutzlars, it's more kal u'mekel. No, the principle is that kol ha'mekel ba'aretz halacha kamosa v'chutzlars. That in a sense, and maybe it's limited to agricultural mitzvahs, but it's almost, even though there are some agricultural mitzvahs that technically apply in Chutz La'aretz, we don't, by definition, any mitzvahs being applied in Chutz La'aretz, by definition, we always follow the Mekel Shita. Not because it's a suffix that the din is that way, but because it's Chutz La'aretz.
Is this qualified anywhere aside for
the Gemara in Shabbos has it by Kilayim. Kilayah Karim, I think. The Rishonim want to apply it to Revai, although arguably Revai is a derivative of Orla. Okay, except for that, and I said this yesterday in the shir, I don't have any evidence for saying this, but I believe it's correct anyway. If you hold that Suffolk Orla is Mutar and Chutz La'aretz, then you hold Suffolk Revai as well. You know, however, you know, if you accept them, whatever Mahalach you want to accept, whether if you want to, if you want to accept Reb Chaim's Mahalach in the Gaonim. And I think I said this when we spoke about Reb Chaim. In all probability, even if the Gaonim are correct that the Pesukim are talking about Orla everywhere, in other words, V'chisavol Aretz is chronological, not geographical. Nonetheless, I would assume that and the Halach L'Moshem Sinai teaches you also that the Suffolk Orla is still Mutter, despite being mentioned in the Pasuk. I assume Suffolk Revai is Mutter as well.
How can you read that as having to do with time as opposed to geographic?
We spoke about this. I don't want to talk about it now.
What I'm saying, even the Pasuk.
Whatever trees, it means the trees that you plant once you enter Eretz Yisrael, not Dafka in Eretz Yisrael. That's all. It's not. That doesn't. It's applied by Kilayim as well.
Sveika
de Rabbanan Lakula. That's easy. That's what we also. That's why Rashi in our sugya says that Orla is only midrabanan. He says, I think midrei sofer. That's why Rashi says it.
That's true. That's easy.
What?
That's true. That's easy.
Yeah,
it's suffix. But the whole din of Orla and the Chutz La'aretz.
No.
Midrabanan, and therefore they can say the Rehem Gazer, Rehem Gazer. They can say.
I think if you say it's based upon, and if Rashi to me it's clear would say that if the whole point of saying it's the Rabbanon is because we're being Mekel, because it's a Suffolk. So Sveika the Rabbanon Lakula, Sveika the Reis and Lachumra. I think that's the simple interpretation. Rashi writes, the whole Hamekel ba'aretz ba'or lahalach k'mosu b'chutz l'aretz d'cheima d'enem in a Torah halach achar hamekel. Let me make a different. Hold on. Let me just point out here. Here's where knowing mekoros is essential for realizing something. How do you know that sveika the rabbanon is cool and sveika the reis is l'chumra? I don't mean a pasuk. How do you know from Chazal that's true? What's the ur text for that? Does anyone know? What? No, that might be the. That's the makor the Rambam says, and the tshuva was his makor and deraisa says sveika deraisa lakula. Okay, put that aside. I want to know, in Tanaitic literature, how do you know that sveika derabanan lakula? No. Can someone hand me an avodah zarah, please? Not a gemara avodah zarah. I can quote it on tape. The Rebbe asked an avodah zarah in the middle of shir. Okay, who was he going to bow to? Yes. It's a Tosefta in Adios, but I can say I actually know it first. There's a gemara avodah zarah. I give credit where credit is due, and I want to take credit where credit is due. Okay. And now, seriously, the Gemara in the Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says as follows: Tana Rabbanon, Hanishal lechacham v'timei, lo yishal lechacham v'yitar, lechacham va'osar, lo yishal lechacham v'yatir. Okay. So far, it's important in its own right, not our discussion. Hayu shnayim, echad mitamei v'echad mitaher, echad oser v'echad matir. Im haya echad mehem gadol mechaveru b'chachmo v'minyan halech acharav v'im lav halech achar hamachmir. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha omer, b'shel Torah halech achar hamachmir, b'shel sofrim halech achar hamekel, Rabbi Yosef hilchasak Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. What's that? I don't know if we know that. He might have been... No, he's earlier than the Mishnah. To the best of my knowledge, this is the makar that Sveika d'Oraisa l'chumra, Sveika d'Rabbanan l'kula. This is the earliest makar, and I think that's what I believe that this is simply a statement to that principle. This is what... Now, by the way, I want to make an observation to you. Firstly, not every Sveikad Rabban is actually Lekula. But remember, this is the Trumas Adeshin that we've quoted at least four times in Halach HaShir. Right? The Trumas Adeshin, Safek Letilas Yadayim is Lekula. So the Trumas Adeshin says if you have a Machlokas Agonim and both positions are explicit, then that's a Safek. Now, you're going to ask me, we don't always do that way. So part of the answer is that if all you have, that one of the things that the Balei HaTosfos discuss here, very important Tosfos, this is very important Gemara. Add that to your Ramban list of Sman Shalem V'Laila. So if you look at a three-line Tosfos, and then other Rishonim have other opinions, how do you paskin when you have two Lashonos in the Gemara? Now, two Lashonos in the Gemara, by the way, is a much better analogy to Safek. It's no longer two authorities, it's an Ika da'amre of what was said. And yet, in other words, the Balei HaTosfos and the Rishonim all assume that that's called a suffix. Now, you're going to ask me why sometimes we don't always just say, well, since most dinim are the Rabbanim, why don't I always follow the most Mekel Shita? So the answer is, im echad mehem gadol b'chaver b'chachma v'minyan, halach acharav, bein l'kula bein l'chumra, bein d'araisa bein d'rabbanan. So that's why the halacha by all dinim of the Rabbanim isn't a cut and dry process of the Mekel, because it may be that the Rambam is considered greater than, you know, the Be'iri. I'll just, you know,
is
pick extreme examples. Minhag and Psak is also a very powerful force. So anyway, Rove also counts. And I was think about the Mechaber's method. Mechaber's method was to take what he claimed to be into the three Gedolei, Amudei HaHora, and then he did Achay Rabin Lahatos. That's another principle that works, right? So anyway, it is very, very, very important Gemara. So now I think I can rest my case. I'm not sure that the Rush didn't understand it that way. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. But the intuitive path which to go was that it's based upon Safek. So if you don't say that, if you say that Vadai, the halachas like Rabbi Eliezer, but we'll make a lark even chutz laretz, it's sort of like, because you don't have to keep all of Judaism chutz laretz. So just as you don't normally have to keep agricultural mitzvahs, anytime there's a shita that's making laretz Israel, even though we don't accept it, it's a rejected shita, you can follow that in chutz laretz. Fine. Well, no, because he doesn't understand. He thinks that there's a bona fide safek. He thinks that he's explaining why wasn't Rabbi Eliezer completely rejected since normally halachic Rabbi Kiv Mechavira. So the answer is because there was another braisa, or that's the way that he said explicitly. That's what you want him to read. I remember. So he has a ksas siyua. So then it's sort of a standoff. So now we have a safek. Now that a bid Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in the boxing ring, so Rabbi Akiva would have won. You know, it would have been a TKO. However, since there's a supporting braisa, so it's a suffix on Eretz Yisrael, Machmer, it's in Chutz Laretz V'Meiko. But the Rush, the philosophy underlying the Rush's principle here is astounding. Right? It's not suffix. We're not being made in Chutz Laretz because it's a suffix, and Machmer, it's Yisrael because it's a suffix, and Sveikad Raisa L'chum, Sveikad Rabban L'kula. No, the halacha is really that it's a prayer. You make a bari prayer eight, it's really Asim Shem Orla. But because there's a position that says that Orla, that Orla doesn't apply to it, by the agricultural mitzvah, we're making in Chutz Laretz. It's almost as if when the Rush says there's no chiluk in brachos between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, yes, because in brachos it's not an agricultural mitzvah. But agricultural mitzvahs, even when they have a manifestation of Chutz Laretz, are still very constrained.
Maybe
old Orla
is not their
father. Maybe that's what's going on. You might very well assume he'll tell. Fine, I'll accept that. In other words, I think once you say like Rashi, it's clear what you're trying to do is to say Sveikad Rabban and Sveikad Raisa. Once you say that Orla, you know, Rashi explains Kalameko because Orla and Chutzlar says the Rabbanon. Yeah. Unbelievable Rush. So he doesn't say what I think you think he says. But
I still think that his formulation has been odd by.
Okay. But the Madani Yontov does say.
Madani Yontov had to pick up on something.
Yeah, but no, but he, I don't think he picks that up on in the Rush. I think he just likes the idea. So anyway, it is a clever idea. So we wound up with at least, how many positions was that? Four, because if you count the Madani Yontov, just for fun. So there's the Ravid and the Rush who think, and about those, you make eights everywhere. And then why? Because it's Vadei Pri. And the fact that you eat the Orlan Chutz Laretz, because kolamekel baratz alachim was b'chutz laretz. On the other side of the spectrum is the position of the Rambam, and I think the Rif as well, that orla, that kafrisan arvadai lav pri, bein baratz bein b'chutz laretz, and there's no iser orla, and therefore, of course, you make a bar pri adam everywhere. Then there's Rabbeinu Yonah's position, is that kafrisan are orla in Eretz Yisrael, not in chutz laretz. Why? Because it's a safek. However exactly work it out. In other words, it's an element of safek there. And there, and because of a safek, therefore you make a bar pri adama everywhere. And then there's this interesting position in the Madana Yomta, which is you make a adama in chutz laretz and an ha'etz in Eretz Yisrael. Now, can someone explain that to me? I think if you read him, actually, I mean, he says a little bit. He doesn't really conceptualize it. Okay, so that's basically that going to conceptualizing, or it's a very narrow conceptualizing. He says that you can't have a tarte de sasre, right? So the fact that if I bring my kafris from Eretz Yisrael, from Chutz Laretz to your party in Eretz Yisrael, and I eat one kafris and I make a bari pri adam, and you eat your kafris and make a bari pri etz, no, that doesn't bother. That's not a tarte de sasre. It means on this one kafris that I am eating, so if I eat it, I make a bari pri adam. I mean, if I would eat an Eretz Yisrael, but I wouldn't eat it if it's orla, then I make a bari pri etz.
Where did you say that? Where it was grown?
What?
Maybe
it does. That's what.
Oh, he's not saying where you eat it.
No, he's saying where it's grown. It's never kosher.
If you bring
it, he's not even assuming you bring it. Remember, we think of bringing stuff because for us, traveling to Eretz Yisrael, you know, you get on a plane, you're there 10 hours later. You know, but for them, you know, it's a once in a lifetime journey if you're lucky. Moshe.
It just sounds a little bit like if the Nayim was really, he's trying to understand the rush. If that's the case, unless it's his own sheet that really. But if he's trying to understand the rush, it sounds like the rush is sort of trying to play the chicken and the egg game. He's disconnecting the brisa from the sugya legamre, and just basically saying, okay, the brisa tells us which bracha we're making on kafrisan. But by the way, it's, you know, we have an issue of orla to deal with here, and legabe orla, even if we consider it pre-mechutz, we make the chutzlar. Very nice. But, and for that reason, he can say, fine, we're going to make ha'etz, but nevertheless, we're going to say that chutzlar, it's the kafrisan, you know, you don't have to throw them out. The Medanyantov has to come along and say, well, too bad, because they should be connected. And if you're going to connect them, then you're going to make Ha'adama outside of Eretz Yisrael and Ha'ayi dinner.
Again, the Rush, I think, does not say that way. I wanted to explore that shita. Okay? That in Chutz Laretz you make Ha'adama Eretz Yisrael make Ha'ayi. So he says you don't want a Tarte de Sasre. Right? Is that his
that's
his language? What I do know is that there's something funny about this position. I think the answer is, how do you explain this? I said that. So the answer is, but no. See, if you have rabbinic supervision, you look at one, you say, Kafrisin of Eretz Yisrael. You look at the other one, you say, Kafrisin of Chutz Laretz. The question is, what would he say you do on Kafrisin of Chutz Laretz if they're not Orla? Okay, that's another question. Right, in a non, what's that?
You might make a difference.
Well, you're not being mezalzel, and you're not ignoring the orla din anymore.
No, but
what if you import them from Chutz Laretz?
Okay, so I the observation I would make very simply is as follows: This is a case where, in fact, rather than the reality dictating the bracha, it's the human perception that dictates the bracha, and therefore it doesn't really matter whether or not, you know, the fact that you have one kafris in Eretz Yisrael and another kafris in Chutz Laretz, the fact that you make different brachos is because the way we act towards in Eretz Yisrael is we'll machshiv it in terms of Arla, we osur it in terms of Arla, and therefore you make a bari pri etz, because the way we're behaving, our behavior determines how we relate to it. And since our behavior in Chutz Laretz is that we eat them even during Arla year, it means we're relating to it as not as pri, and therefore you make ha'adama. And that's, again, I don't know where you can go with that, but it's something, a point to keep in mind. The idea that it's not an absolute, and it's absolute value. It's not an objective reality that determines the bracha, but it has to do with the way we, in fact, relate to it. And in terms of determining how we relate to it in this context, that in Eretz Yisrael we're relating towards the Pri, and Chutz Arts we're not relating towards the Pri. Just an observation of a remotely similar Shita that Ben doesn't like, which is Beis Shammai, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the reason why Tzlaf might not be considered a tree is because even though it doesn't have a, even though it has a stem which stays in the ground, because it's so small and it looks, in terms of its size, more like Yerek, therefore, even though the reality is the objective reality that it's a fruit tree like every other fruit tree, I mean, its own peculiarities, nonetheless, because we look at it and kind of think of it more as a shrub or whatever else, again, that's an extreme example of it, but maybe, you know, there's certain dimionos.
If you're talking about Marasayan, then
if I were Rabbi Yochanan, but Marasayan might dictate, at least for bracha purposes. I'm just, so in that case, it dictates... Kilayim, by the way, is Marasayan, but okay, we discussed this.
Why
okay.
Why you brought it up.
But Eitan.
If we don't have Orla... at all in Chutz La'aretz, then wouldn't everything be Adama? Isn't there a opinion that we don't do Arla at all in La'aretz?
No, but if you
isn't
say that...
Is that the reality in Chutz La'aretz?
No, 1 second. If you say there's no Orla, if the din is not knowing in Chutz La'aretz, as one Amoro does say in Kiddushin, so then you're saying it's not that these aren't fruits, it's that this is, it's a mitzvah Kli
Baretz. But in the case of...
So we don't pask in that way, but even if we did, it wouldn't be a problem, because we're not saying it's not. The problem here is, here, listen, if I have a kerem, which is a suffix whether it's third or fourth year, in Chutz La'aretz, and I eat those fruits, of course I make a bari priya eitz on them. Why? Because the suffix is not whether they're fruits or not, the suffix is whether they're orla or not, they're vadei fruits. Here, the reason why you might eat it, is because it might not be a fruit. Okay? Shlomo and then Dave. I don't know any yet. I don't know any yet.
This
is the only one. It's not mine. It's nice when I can just explain what somebody else says. So if I made it up myself, you would tell me I'm nuts. But, you know, but he said it, so.
Can I suggest a relationship?
Sure.
What you call something?
It was like...
Is the way you relate to it? So we bring it up in other cases. Mashino Yashem. If you call it this and then you change it, you call it that, and the way you relate to it defines its halacha.
Yeah, but the difference there is that that's a much more human dependent enterprise. In other words, the whole point is veshivas hagzela shergazal kein shegazal. If it's not what he stole anymore, now what categories would you apply to that? So, in commercial categories, you typically would apply the way human beings think. Right. In other words, choshamishpat's the one area which has a much greater amount of human input shaping. You don't expect that to be. You know, here I think there may be examples. You may be right, Ben. There may be an issue of shame. I'll give you a better example in halacha, where Shlomo Zalman says in Hilchos Shabbos, he claims that lashon b'nei adam often dictates whether something is a malacha or something is like hachana lesuda. I forget the examples that he has. He might even talk about it in the context of electricity. His argument why it's not bona, if I'm not mistaken. Because people don't view it as such. I mean, I don't think that's the case. I think there are, no, it's somewhere in the Borer Tochein stuff, I think, where he talks
true
about
if,
that.
If he said it that way.
Well, yeah, but it's more than that.
Like
right. Was it Bona where he said that Lashon B'nei Adam dictates you don't say that you're making a circuit, you say you're turning on and off a light? It's, yeah, that's his way he said, thank you. He says it other places too. He says that Shimush versus Binyan. And there, how do you determine whether or not it's Shemush versus Binyan? So one of the categories that Shlomo Zalman has is the way people refer to it as. So there's a case where determining whether it's Binyan versus Hishtamshus is dependent upon human categories. Okay, and that's not a Choshen Mishpat.
Lahadlika Ta'or. Turn on the light.
Okay. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah, so with this same sheet that would argue that you're being used to move Rachas, how would they explain the fact that on the second day of Pesach, we say Yom Yom HaChadol, when the next day we Ashkenazim do not put on tefillin. We're talking Chutz La'aretz.
Don't ask me any questions on the Shita. This Shita goes along with the position that the Achronish Pilpul about if they do a heart transplant on a person and everybody agrees if you take out a person's heart, he's dead.
Okay.
So does his wife, is his wife an Almana when they put the new heart in, okay?
In the meantime,
and then, well, what does it matter? If you bring him back, you bring a guy back to life. If a man dies, a woman's an Almana. If he comes back to life, if she doesn't want to be married to him, she's not an Aguna.
Has that come up?
The issue, I believe, Shamakti me Rebbe, that there's a whole literature in the Achronim about this topic. So the point is, I'm putting this in the same category.
No, it's
It's interesting, yes,
it's
but not now.
But
not now.
But you're saying,
but,
I don't,
good game,
but
not.
It's totally non-normative and bizarre.
I just don't. I don't want to go into the Shita now. Okay, Moshe, last question on this topic. I want to go back to our Gemara friend. Yes.
Became something that wasn't relevant to them, just not being in front of their faces, either because they stopped bringing it to Eretz Yisrael, or because they just, you know.
I have no way of knowing. You know, Rav was certainly interested in the din, and he was a yored. It's hard to gauge that. I would agree with you on Ravai more than I would on Orla. Orla could have been as material in their lives as Orla would have been Eretz Yisrael. Ravai, you're correct.
Although if that's the case, you could understand why people might still consider it a pre, regardless, because Lashem Bracha, it's still applicable, but for the purposes of Orla, perhaps not.
Okay, that might be. Okay. All right. So now on to the question of Shomer Lepre. There is a Yerushalmi here, which, by the way, ties back into the previous sugya. So I'm more convinced now. It only leads me to question more whether or not Rav really said Bechutz Laaretz. The Bavli certainly thought that he did say Bechutz Laaretz, but I'm not as convinced anymore as I think about the Yerushalmi more and more. Why? What does the Yerushalmi say? You see, what's that?
The Rif agrees.
In a sense, I said the Yerushalmi could have been the Makar, but if you think about it, see, this is the issue of putting things, I would say, in relief, putting things in a context. Out of context, what was the focus of Rav's statement? Well, it's very easy to see the focus of Rav's statement is Bechutz Laaretz. When you put it into a certain context, it looks a little different. And what is this different context? It's the Yerushalmi in Masros. Okay, and what is the Yerushalmi in Masros? And by the way, I'm very grateful to Shalom Eliyahu for having stumbled upon this Yerushalmi, however you found it. You would have once brought this Yerushalmi, the later part in the Yerushalmi, to my attention. No? About which is Masros and Selzer? No.
About what?
Did you bring my attention to this Yerushalmi or no? Oh, no, I meant, okay, so I thought you did, but fine. Okay, so thank you for nothing then. Seriously, so Shmuel Amar, Shalom, go ahead. As the consolation prize, okay, for my insults. There you go. Shmuel Amar. Kafras.
Shmuel Amar, Kafras,
Asur Mishum Klipin. Utenichain. It is a wonderful analogy. Orla is a very strange word. What does orla mean?
Foreskin.
That's an excellent translation when you're dealing with the human member. However, well, let me put you this way. The analogy in the Gemara is perfect. The analogy in the Torah is harder to understand. But when you think about what the word orla means, the notion of a shomer lepri being in the category of orla is a wonderful pun, if not Pshuto Shemikra. It's probably not Pshuto Shemikra. How do Chazal understand? In other words, Va'aral Temor Orla, so what is the Orla of the Pri?
The Shomer.
It's the Shomer. It's the thing that covers it. The same way that the foreskin covers the Aver.
What about, like,
So the way Chazal, however, classically understand, in other words, when you read the Drush and the Bavli, the Drush in Yerushalmi is so wonderful. The Drush in the Bavli is this parv drusha that you like don't even understand. Es perio, l'rabos es atofel perio. The Yerushalmi is so wonderful. V'aral tem or laso, just wonderful. The Bavli is wonderful too. I don't mean to insult it, but the Yerushalmi is even more wonderful. But the point is, how does Chazal understand? What's the classic understanding Chazal have of the word orla? So Rashi writes the same as aral sfasayim means atum. It means sealed, closed off. And in other words, it's closed off from you. You can't get any hanah from it. That's va'aral tem asal espiyo. Shalosh shanim yelachem arei lim. The same thing, umaltem esor las levavchem, right? If metaphorically, the heart is the seat of understanding. So if there's something covering it, that God can't get this notion of obeying him into your thick heart, so then you have to remove the orla. What?
Targum has a tifshut, like
That's a metaphor. That's already, you know, a non-literal translation. Yeah. As Rambam would say, unkos tirgamo achar ha'inyan v'lo achar ha'lashon. But the literalness of the metaphor means that which is covering the heart, which is preventing God's word from getting in. So aralteh means it's mechusa, it's covered. Okay, so that's what he says in the Yerushalmi, davar shu orel es pirio. Okay? So if you think about it, the peel on something, and it's not a peel anymore, but it once was sort of the covering, so that's considered orla as well. Okay?
You say it means covering?
Shu orel es pirio. Like the orla covers the aver.
Great verb, but does it?
Yes, but
where?
I'm willing to bet you that the scholars try to amend it. Shese gamata vehe arel.
Where's that?
Nachum? Svanya maybe. Svanya maybe. It's in one of those three books that I don't know so well. Nachum Chavachin a little better. I think it's in Svanya. I think that I'm sure that those who want to amend it to Vehe Ra'el, as in Ra'el, to be, you drink. It's drinking the Kos Puranus. So anyway, Shasei Gamata Vehe Arel. Anyway. What?
Vomit it back.
Okay. See, that's why you're supposed to read Tanakh many times, even if you don't know what you're reading. You read it over and over, and eventually the things stick in your head. So.
Unless, of course, it is Vehe Ra'el and you remembered it wrong.
So I'll tell you what, Gabe, I'm going to bet lunch on this with you. Okay?
Oh,
what's that?
Was
oh, I don't know.
Nahum, Nahum, Nahum.
It's in the early part. Hold on. It's not Nahum, I think.
Yeah. All right. You got to conquer down to him like a little here.
If I don't see it quickly, I will. Here we go. Savata, it's Chavakuk. Savata kalon mi kavod shesei gamatov hei orel. Ayin reish lamed. Yes. Tisov alecha kos yimen Hashem ki kalon al kvodecha.
Fine.
No, it's great. It's not from the Haftarah. It's from the Perek Beis. So anyway, I don't know elsewhere that verb appears.
It's really starting chapter 3.
Okay. So anyway, so the bottom line is the Yerushalmi's drush is wonderful. Go ahead, Shalom. So Shmuel said, Kafrisin, and note by the way, note very important. What is the makor? It's not es perio, es hatafel de perio, and we're only saying that of course because we know the Bavli's drush already, but rather in Davarsha or es perio, araltem or laso es perio. Okay? So that might be a little bit different than what the Bavli says. Okay, go ahead. Rav. Okay, now what is Bei Rav? Yes, don't say the house of Rav, okay? Rav did not command the members of the house of Rav. Rav commanded to those, a Bar Bei Rav is a Talmud of the yeshiva. So he commanded the Talmidim, okay? I'm not sure if Asi Rav Hamnuna did the same thing. And what did he do? Mefaked.
Is it Rav Huna? Is it Rav Huna and Rav Hamnuna?
It could be. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter for our purposes. That when Rav Hamnuna came, he said it was Rav Hamnuna who did it. I'm not sure. It may just be two different things. Mifaked lechavraya. What would they tell the Talmidim? Tell the Chaverim? It could be actually Rav Huna saying that rather than Rav teaching and telling the Talmidim, Rav Hamnuna told the Chaverim. It doesn't matter to me right now.
Mifakad means to tell.
It means to be command. The targum of litzavos. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
In Tehillim you probably have them as pairs, as a word pair.
119.
Pikudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chelev Mitzvas Hashem Bara Mirasenayim. So Pikudei and Mitzvas, right? So that, but it's an Aramaism in a sense. So Mifakadin, what would they do? Linishechon. She said, I'm sorry, Tehavon.
Tehavon.
Kavshin hada kafrisa. When they pickle the kafrisin, what should they do? The yehavon. Okay, they should remove the bitisa. What is the bitisa? It's the little inside, you know, the berry or something that eventually becomes the, later
the
will become the aviona. It's not developed yet.
It's not the aviona.
It's not yet an aviona. It's still in the tamara stage. But the tamara is much, in other words, the kafrisin are what come off, and the kafrisin don't turn into anything. It's the tamara the that then turns into the perach, and the things come out of, and then into the aviona. Is that not correct? You're disagreeing.
Well, the tamara is the early stage, and then the tamara grows big.
I understand, but the kafrisin are around it.
And then inside you have the baitisa.
The kafrisin around the baitisa. You can call it that now if you want. And that out of that thing is the flower,
right.
And then
the
out of its center will grow the aviona. Okay, so but the assumption is you can clearly delineate that the kafrisin don't become the aviona. The tamara eventually does become the aviona.
Yeah.
Okay, so I won't go if you're not maskim.
I'm maskim.
So you're my Rebbe in botany. So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
okay, fine, good.
Why don't we?
So Rav, and now it's clear what emerges from the Gemara. Rav is not makbid on the kafrisin. Now, is there any mention of chutz laretz here? No. So it really sounds like Rav's what? Yeah.
They're in Chutzlaret. And this is the Yerushalmi pointing out that in Chutzlaret, this is what they do. He's talking to people in Chutzlaret.
Rav isn't living in Chutzlaret. I grant you that point, but they don't mention anything about. Firstly, the statement. What? But the Yerushalmi doesn't say Hadam Milsa, you know, Bechutzlaret, Aval Ardi Stralo. So I'm just pointing out that. Why am I animated? I'm animated by this
right,
because it's not just that Rav doesn't have chutz laretz. It's that, and you read it in the Bavli, it sounds like Rav is speaking alone. When you see it in the Yerushalmi, Rav is being presented as the contrast to Shmuel. Now, you could argue, theoretically, the Machlokas is only chutz laretz, but the Yerushalmi does not at least assert that claim explicitly. It happens to be Machlokas, Rav, and Shmuel. I'm sure, I'm not a Bucky in Yerushalmi's rhyme, I bet you find any number of Machlokas in between Rav and Shmuel in the Yerushalmi, which apply to Eretz Yisrael Bafka. I mean, it's not. I agree. In other words, there's no. The discussion logically is about whether it's Shomer and Lepre and so on.
That should have no distinction.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. What is pre also should have no distinction between Eretz and Chutz Laretz, unless you buy into this Kolamekel Baretz Alachamos Chutz Laretz. So my point is that from Rav, from this Gemara, there's no indication that Shmuel and Rav are arguing in Chutz Laretz Davka. And once you see Rav as being the Bar Plukt of Shmuel here. The statement of Rav of Zarak es havionos v'achal es hakafrisin. So it's again, I can't tell you that the statement wasn't there in Rav's Maimer and Bavel, but it almost looks to me like that is almost peripheral b'chutz laretz. That really wasn't part of the statement. Again, it's not again the Bavli is that part the Bavli interpreted the stem and the Gemara of the Bavli interpreted as if it was part of the statement. Is it conceivable? What's that?
Didn't invent it.
I agree. The question is, at some point, was Rav's statement amended b'chutz laretz, and then the Gemara interprets that way? I can't prove it. I'm just, if it weren't for the Yerushalmi, I wouldn't have the chutzpah to open my mouth and suggest that. It's just that in light of the Yerushalmi, maybe I would. Nah, I probably wouldn't, because it's methodologically poor. It is methodologically inconsistent, if not for the Yerushalmi. In other words, when you have a statement, what's that? You have to have some evidence to suggest it wasn't there. It's not that it's inconceivable that part of the statement couldn't have been there. Look, we saw, you know, Mekadesh Memovein and Mekudeshes, if you remember from Kiddushin, and we conclude that Rav never said it. It's really Machlokas whether Rav actually said it or not. So for some, it's an extrapolation from Rav, and others didn't agree with the Mechlala. So it's possible that someone didn't make the statement, but you need to have some kind of evidence. So without the Yerushalmi, there's no evidence whatsoever. And the Bavli is relating to Rav as if he said those two words. The Yerushalmi seems to present a different picture.
You think that this was what was driving?
Wants to do its driving.
Maybe. Yeah. The fact that Rav and the Yerushalmi seems to hold, like we might say, Rabbi Akiva straight out, if you want to buy some type of a, in other words, I think Rav and Shmuel in the Yerushalmi are working within Hushita. Most probably working within Rabbi Akiva Shita. Right? In other words, if you assume, by the way, going back to the question, what's the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? So the Bavli seems to understand that the machlokas is whether or not it's called a pri, right? Rabbi Akiva says only the Avionis called a pri. Rabbi Eliezer says all three things. You have come in Orla for a second. Is that Chelik Aleph? I encountered running through Mishnah's Orla today. an interesting Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows. It's the previous Mishnah. In fact, you all, I assume, have looked up the Mishnah because it's the Mishnah with Rabbi Yossi says that the Boser is, that Smadar is Aser Mneshu Pri. Okay, so in that Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yoshua, so earlier, I'm sorry, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hamamid Bisraf HaOrla Aser. Rabbi Eliezer says if someone uses sap of an Orla tree what do you do to milk to make a cheese? The curdle, the cheese, Yamamid, he says it's Aser. Am Rabbi Yoshua, Shamati Beferush, Shehamamid Bisrafa Olim, Bisrafa Harikarim, Mutar. If you use the sraf of the leaves, the sraf of the branches, it's Mutar. However, Bisrafa Pagin, the Pagin of the beginning of the Ta'anim, Aser Mipneshehu Pri. Now that is exactly analogous to the Mishnah in Masros. Okay, where Rabbi Eliezer, again, I can't tell for sure, but you could very well read Rabbi Eliezer's regarding pre with respect to orla as anything that the tree produces. And the sap, I won't ask what it exactly is now, the exact processes, but sap's not the fruit of the tree. He regards the sap as having a din of orla. Now that's really interesting. Not just Masros. It's no longer just produce of the tree, it's pre. Which may prove that my suggestion in how to read the Machlokas and Masters is wrong.
Which one is pre?
Rabbi Nezer, what?
Which one is pre? He only says one of them.
The sraf, any sraf of Orla.
All those srafs? He only says the last one.
So, unless you assume, I didn't look in the Yerushalmi.
Didn't
that,
he say
unless, no, Rabbi Yeshua says, it sounds like he's arguing with Rabbi Lazar, unless I'm wrong. Rabbi Yeshua says, Shamati Beferush Amamid, unless he means by Beferush as the interpretation of this. If the interpretation of this, then I retract that we have any chiddush from this. Doesn't work in my favor because this works against the way I read the Mishnah in Masros. Right? By Orla, it can't be produce. It has to be pre. So I just want to point out that Rabbi Eliezer has a more expansive definition of what's called peros. And if that's correct, in regards to this Yerushalmi, Rav and Shmuel are working within Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's all pre. The whole machlokus is within Shitas Rabbi Akiva, do the kafrisim have a din of a davar sha'orel es perio?
I mean, would that mean Leila Masa that you'd make all eight, at least according to that sheet, on maple syrup?
Yes. But we probably don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer, so yes.
Maple syrup or plain. It's never.
I will tell you the following. It's probably maple syrup. Probably you wouldn't make boy praise because you wouldn't drink a cup of it. You would. I don't know about you. Okay, but if my wife weren't looking, and there was a lot of maple syrup left on the thing, It would be Tafel, true. I agree, but I would definitely stick my finger in and get the maple syrup because it's very good. Okay, so anyway, bottom line.
Even if you ate it separately, it would be Tafel.
Yeah, it would still be a Tafel for bracha purposes. Okay? I think that the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel is Dafka within Rabbi Akiva. Okay? So that's why it's conceivable. The Rambam and the Rif saw this Yerushalmi and said it's a machlokas everywhere. Rav is holding really like Rabbi Akiva across the. And in other words, if you follow that way, it means we really hold like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore we paskin that way. Okay, it's interesting because normally, if I'm correct, it means and this is a case where they're paskin like the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. It's not as beferish in the Bavli, but it's the Bavli's interpretation of Rav. So it is beferish, I guess, in the Bavli.
Later on, so like a possible reading later on in the next story.
I understand, but that's very difficult. Okay. Fine. So let's finish this up. So now, one very important line before we start the Bavli. You got to get this line, which is Amar.
Amar Rabbi Abba. Asper Rabbi Zira.
What does that mean? Asperi Rabbi Zira?
Or it's like the shame.
I just think he explained to me. He enlightened me. If the truth is, if there's a hay missing, then it's Asbere Rabbi Zera. He explained it. Either way, call. Can you explain what this means? Chaim, you want to explain this?
I'm trying to figure it out myself.
The shomer has to go around with it around the thing, and here it's going.
Okay, this is going to be a very important raya to a ritva, which I'm not really understanding. The Minchas Chinuch apparently didn't like this ritva. I only saw it in the notes. I don't understand what bothers them about the ritva. But this is going to be, I think, an assumption that may be in the conclusion, or be at some point in the Bavli. This claim that because the kafras never grows around the pri, it's below it, therefore it doesn't have the din of shomer lepri. This is eminently reasonable and logical. And if you think about what the kafrisin are, and when the aviona first comes into existence as an aviona, at that point the kafrisin are no longer around it. There's a flower around it. That's not the kafrisin. The leaves of the kafrisin are peeled back below. The flower has come out of that. Out of the flower has come the aviona. As opposed to the shomrim lepri that we're going to talk about, that in the earliest stages of the fruit, it in fact is around the fruit.
Or in front of the fruit.
Yes.
It's so different than what Rava says about the end of Babli. I mean,
hold on, it's not. It really would be, it actually is connected. But let me ask you a question. Is the kafris there when the pri is there? Yes, it is. It's just not a shomer lepri anymore. In other words, the kafrisin are still on the bud. They're underneath,
yeah,
right?
Would you call them the kafrisin anymore? Even I mean, would they have that name?
The point is that they do exist, but they never exist around the aviona. They never exist as a shomer. That's what he means, I believe, by this line, that kol haklipin gedelos amapri vezepri melamatan uklipin klipan melamatan. In other words, the klipa, that which is left of the kafras, once the flowers open up, even before the aviona, is below. I mean, just looking at the picture we've seen, it makes perfect sense. You know what they knew what a kafras looked like. So now when we go over to the Bavli, I think it's actually closest to the second teretz. We'll see. So what does the Bavli say? Let's have someone else can read the Bavli for us. Who would like to read the Bavli? Tzvi, go ahead. Tefut v'tefut lei. Third line on top of Lamed Vav Amid Beis. Okay, so the Bavli's question was, so what if you want to say that Rav holds like Rabbi Akiva? So what if he holds like Rabbi Akiva? It doesn't matter, because even if Kafrisin is not called a pri, it's still a shomer of the pri. Now, what about Rabbi Akiva Shita? Well, Rabbi Akiva wasn't talking about what? He wasn't talking about Orla, he was talking about Masros. There's no din of shomer by Masros. The din of shomer is unique to Orla. So the Gemara says, you should have asked the kafrisin anyway, but aratam arla so es priyo, es atofel priyo. Whose methodology of drasha is this, by the way? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, originally Nechemya Hamsoni, Hayadurish Kalesin Shibitara, Kevin Shaligia, La Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. So, Piresh.
Shimon Hamsoni.
Shimon, the two versions, yes. So the Talmidim said to him, what's going to be about all the drasha shidarshan? He said, "Kishem shekibalti schar haladrisha, kach kabal schar alaprisha." Atshabar Rabbi Akiva v'limeid es Hashem loki kacha l'rabos talmidei chachamim. Okay, fine. So
there were the prisha and the drisha got the name.
I assume so. So anyway, so es hatofel l'pirio. So now Rava says, you know what? You know when a shomer is aser? It's only called the shomer when it's there bein betalosh bein mechubar. But here, it's there bein mechubar bein betalosh leisa. In other words, when you take the fruit, you pluck the aviona off, the kafras is not around it, and that's an understatement. So now the Bavli continues. So let's talk about what is the pitma shel rimon. The pitma is the bottom piece of the rimon, the part that, like, if you look inside, it looks like it has all those pistols, right? So I think that the
statements.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, in it. So that larger piece is called the nate shel rimon. The pitma shel rimon. But the material that's inside those stamens are called the nates. Okay, why are they called the nates?
Because they're bursting.
What's that? Because that's what happens when the fruit develops. You see all those first. That's the those are the nitzanim. You correct me if I'm wrong, Chaim. When you first see the fruit, when you look at even the aviona, before it becomes an aviona, what you see in the middle of the flower are those nitzanim, if you will, those nates, if you want to call it that. So the what's that? I assume that, by the way, in the cape in the aviona, you probably don't see those once the fruit is finished, right? But in the pomegranate, right. You do see them.
Yeah.
You look in the top. I'm sorry, I should have brought it in today. Still a pomegranate sitting on my kitchen table. So if you look in the pomegranate, go get a pomegranate. Look inside. You'll see all those stamens. That's called the nates. Okay, because that when the pomegranate grows, I showed the pomegranate pictures, right? Share. When the pomegranate grows, when you look in the flower, first you see just those stamens, and then eventually the fruit starts to come in from behind, and at the end you just see those stamens on the top of the rimon. Okay.
And they really are shomer there.
So at some point they really are a shomer. I guess they're around the at some point initially that when the what's the main one that comes up high in the attention to the fruit? What's the middle one?
The pistil.
The pistil. So those are around the pistil. Okay, that's a shomer, the pre.
Well, the pitma is on which side?
The one that's not connected.
The one that's not connected to the tree when you pluck it off. You feel free to catch any time.
From what I was looking at, it seemed like just from the fact that they're trying to compare the nates to the kafris, it would seem like the closest equivalent was from that picture, like that picture that I showed you, which is the part that's underneath the part that goes around the flower. Which would be the closest thing to what the kafris would be, and obviously if there is some difference, that would be why the Gemara is rejecting this.
I would like that even more. Just from the pictures, what they describe, they don't seem to say that. I didn't have to look in Felix again, but in the Aruch Halashah, so they claim it's at the bottom as well. Yes.
Right. I mean, just to make it a cognate of the.
And the problem, but I'll tell you why it can't be Chaim, because the other parts are not are Leisa Betalush. The Gemara says that the nate shel rimon is Issa Betalush, but what you're talking about is not the Betalush. So it has. I think they're right. That's why it has to be those little things inside. It's not. In other words, it's more analogous at an early stage of the fruit.
How do we define exactly Issa Betalush versus Leisa Betalush?
It means when you pluck the fruit off, is it still there?
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara says that can't be the definition of a shomer because the nates of a rimon is No, I'm sorry, I got that right. Maybe you're right.
Right, because
Rashi you're right. It makes perfect sense.
Because they fall off by the time it's ripe.
Yeah, that makes more sense. So I don't know why they. I hear what you're saying. I don't know why that. Why do they say the way they do? That makes more sense. Yes, the flowers sort of. I mean
the
inner part.
The flower before
right.
It blooms.
So right. Those fall off before the fruit is plucked. Better that way. Okay, good. I'll accept that.
Does it make a difference where on the flower they have, like when the Yerushalmi said that regarding where it is on the flower? Here, does it make a difference, or it's just whether or not it comes out when you pluck it or stays on?
Ask one more time. I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
The
kafrisin are not shomer because they're below. Normally the shomer, like these flowers that are around the rimon, are actually around the rimon when it's developing the fruit. But here, the kafrisin are never around the aviona when it's an aviona. Right, they're around an earlier stage, the tamara, when it's a berry. The berry then opens up into a flower, and then out of the center starts to grow the aviona. So the kafrisin are always below; they're never around the aviona.
Oh, so
here, okay. So that's why the Ushami says it's different. And as a rimon, it is around in the early stage of the rimon; those flowers are around it. What the Bavli says is eventually the flowers fall off before you pluck, or when you pluck the pomegranate off the tree, the flowers aren't there. So you see that even though it's not there. So the Bavli's initial suggestion of why the kafrisin are not a shomer and the pri is because leisa betalush, but the point is that the nates is also leisa betalush, and still the nates is considered, all right, and the nates is not part of the fruit. It's not an ochel. Okay, so what the Mishnah says. This is a Mishnah, by the way, in Orla, at the end of the first parak. Right? The Mishnah says that klipe rimon, which are the... What's the klipe in? The peel. And the nates. Okay, that we've already discussed. Klipe egozim. That's a little odd. I wonder if Felipe Agosa means the shell, or it means that actually some nuts have like another peel around them. The peel, not the shell.
No, it sounds like the actual shell, because that's why they're saying, that's why in the Yerushalmi, that's why they're saying that the clipping grow with the fruit. I mean, it actually is surrounding what they're considering the fruit. I mean, really, it's the seed, but...
Wait, one second. But how can you eat... What?
Like that thing around the peanut?
Yeah.
That
makes more sense to me than saying the shell. The shell's inedible. I mean, you can chew on it if you want. I mean, like a peanut shell.
No, yeah, it could be that you could boil it. You could chew it and spill it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. But, I mean, they talk about... If Tulsa
okay,
could talk
okay.
about eating apricot all right, tests,
so it's one of the two.
Tests, so although, you wouldn't make a bracha.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't try to eat it in the first place. Okay, but hold on. Let's 1 second. The hagarinim. Okay, the pits. Hayavin ba'orla. So what do you see? You see that it nates, even though it's not on the pomegranate, when the pomegranate is betalosh, you see that it still has a din of a shomer. And the only basis for saying that the nates is not the pri, the only basis for saying it's aser ben orla is that it's a shomer. So ela... The simple reading here, what does Gemar Peira mean? When it ripens. Rashi says when the pri is completely finished. There are three stages to the pri, halachically speaking. There is the time that it's not yet called pri, which we will assume, therefore, there's no din of Arla on it, and we will assume that when it comes to Shvius, you're allowed to cut down the tree, even though you mafsid those fruits because they're not Peira Shvius yet. The second stage is when it becomes, it's onas, I would say, no, I take that back, there's more stage than that. Then there's a stage which already has a shame pre, but it's not going to be chayv and trumas and maisis yet, and then you're not allowed to cut down the tree in the Shemitah year. And then, eventually, it reaches the onas hamasros, maybe that is, I guess, the third stage, at which point it's already considered sufficiently a pre that you cut down the tree in Shvius, and it's already chayv and trumas and maisis. Now, the truth is, even after onas hamasros, the fruits do grow more. I mean, in other words, onas hamasros, it might be barely edible, but just edible. Whereas, you know, bishulo is even later than that. So I guess there are sort of four stages. There's the pre stage. There's when it has a shame pre, but now onas hamasros. There's onas hamasros, and then there's gemara pre. And that's how Rashi understands the gemara here, that asher nigmar pre, gemara peira, is that what I described as the last stage. In the notes, I haven't figured this out yet, he claims the Ritva understands, it sounds like he thinks the Ritva understands gemara peira means when it reaches onas hamasros, which is not the final stage, or something like that. Or maybe not even, maybe even earlier than that, when it has a shame pre. Now,
if you ate it in
so anyway,
stage,
so let's assume that gemara peira means it's mavushal, it's ripe.
In the pre stage, it's not edible?
Certainly not. It doesn't have a shame pre, and
so
therefore...
So if you eat it,
it's nothing.
Then you don't make a bracha?
Maybe shakal.
Hadamah?
Maybe hadamah, but not ha'is. Okay. So the Mishnah. So notice also garinim, which we're going to talk about, the pits. Chayev and Allah. Orla. Ela amar rava. So that... So he gave the teretz of... it has to be a shomer lepri b'shask mar peira. Okay. Now, Inni. Okay. Excuse me. He says that mas chalei of orla, which are by dates, and the claim is made it's like a kafras is to a tzlaf, so mas chalei is to a tamar. So mas chalei the orla are in fact osur, because they're a shomer lepri. Now, when are they actually a shomer lepri? At the stage of kufra, which is a very early stage before they ripen, Rashi says. So you see that even though a shomer is not around at the last stage of the pre, when it's fully ripened, you see that it's still called a shomer. And therefore, the same thing should be true by our kafras. So the Gemara's answer is, Rav Nachman Savar Lak Rabbi Yosei. But so Rabbi Yosei holds that an earlier stage it's actually called a pre, and but the analog to Smadar is Maschle da Arla. And only Rabbi Yose holds that it's a pre at that early in stage, and that means, though, by implication, according to Rabbi Yose, Kafrisin would be Osir. As a Shomer Lepri? Okay. So now the Gemara says, but that doesn't work. Maskif La. Okay. Mishi garu, probably. To become garua, or something like that. I don't mean garua in the sense of lesser, but it's a stage in the grape. So, well, the Gemara will define it for us, but... So the Mishnah says in Shviyas that you're not allowed to chop down a fruit tree in the Shemitah year before, once the fruits are there, but before they've reached a certain stage of growth, because that's being mafsid perishvias. La'ochla v'la'hafsid. So, the Mishnah here is a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel exactly how do you determine when it's called a fruit that you're not allowed to cut the tree down. So Beis Hillel gives a different shear for carob tree, for grapevines, for olives. The rest of the trees, he agrees with Beis Shammai, Mishe Yotziu. Okay, when the pre comes out, I can't tell you exactly what that is. Jason?
Does that mean only pre before it flowers, or once after we reap the harvest, and I then cut it down?
No, once it's reached a certain stage, certainly if it's ready to harvest even before that, you're allowed to cut it down, yeah. If you need the wood. And you just need the peros. The point is, in this case, the peros, in order, the peros are peros already, but they're not... But you're not normally eaten in this form. They're so unripe and so unformed. So you're being mastered pears, you just cut them down. If you let it grow up until a certain point, then you can cut the tree down. Okay, but here the Mishnah is talking about the front end, when the Isser begins.
Okay.
And then, Va'amar Ravasi. This is very difficult shakal of Italia. Who pull a leaven? That's called bosa, that's garua, that's a white bean. So the Gemara says, what?
This is my favorite line.
Pool halavan sakadaitav ella.
No, the size of a pool of
halavan. It's read Ravasi is saying, giving different names for it. That stage is called boser. That's called garua. That's he's explaining Mishia garu. It's the same stage as boser. Who boser, who garua, who pool halavan. It's like, white beans? What are white beans doing here? Pool halavan sakadaitav ema. That tells you how big it has to be reach the stage of what would be called boser or garua. So you see what? So what do you see? Man shamis lay the amar.
Man shamis lay the amar boser in smadar lo.
That smadar is not like Rabbi Yose. Who says that this is a problem?
Rabbanan.
So and you see what? And the boser stage is long before the fruits are ripe. So the Gemara says, so you see that doesn't work either. You can't say that if it's not there, you can't say that the fact that we say maschle the orla are asur, so that you see that it's called the shomer the pri even if it's not there in a very early, even if it's not there at the very latest stage of the fruit ripening. You see, even when it's called boser, not forget smadar boser, that it's called the shomer the pri even though the pri is not nigmar. Okay, now. Is earlier.
Is earlier, so then shouldn't it still be
shown
the
peep?
It's still on?
No, because the Rabbanan say that's not called a pre.
Okay.
But what you do see, and this is the point that we're going to come to tomorrow, is that if it's there before Smadar, presumably everybody would agree, it's not called a shomer. It's not called a shomer. Why? Because it's only a shomer if it's a shomer the pre. If the shomer's gone before the pre gets there, then it's not called a shomer. Now, we're going to stop at this point. I'm going to save the punchline for tomorrow. And then you're going to have to figure out how this does or doesn't fit with the Yerushalmi. Okay? So for tomorrow, we're going to attempt to do that. And then we're going to go also deal with the question of Gar'inim. And then hopefully Wednesday we'll deal with ginger and pepper. Let me just, to sum up briefly, going back to the issue of the rush. We explored the